reading to you from the book of Jude, 21st verse. Keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and having mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by thy flesh. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, the rest is history. Friends, anybody who tells you Christianity is dull is nutter than a fruitcake. That's correct, nutter than a fruitcake. There's excitement in serving the Lord because, friends, we're talking about eternal truths. We're not talking about temporary stuff. This is for time without end when you trust Jesus. Well, listen, hey, excuse me, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers and sit back? Maybe have a glass of iced tea or a hot chocolate or maybe even a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke, the 16th chapter of Luke. Let's begin reading with the 19th verse. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, in order that those who wish to come over here to you may not be able, and that none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that you may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They had Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. We've labeled this To Hell and Back. It's a kind of a funny title, isn't it? A fearful and often forsaken part of the Bible, because of the subject involved. Fearful because of the speaker, Christ. Could be overlooked of the ranting of a madman. Could be ignored if the folly of a religious fanatic. Could be ignored if by the brainstorm of a bigot. But these words fall from the lips of the gentle Jesus, the one who would die and rise again, the one who is coming again. Oh, beloved, I warn you, I beg of you, be prepared to meet thy God. And the only way that you and I'll ever be prepared to meet God is by repenting of our sins and crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, the presentation is a study of contrast. Listen. The contrast of their lies we read in verse 21. And longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table, besides even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. You know what that means? I mean, the dogs had more compassion on that poor man, that beggar man, than the rich man. Well, listen. It said a certain rich man, he was very rich, purple, a rare and precious dye. Purple spoke of royalty. Fine linen worth twice its weight in gold. He fared sumptuously every day, never in doubt as to daily bread. May have even been a religious man, but lost. Friends, you know what? Believe it or not, when I was pastoring an evangelistic work up in Washington, state of Washington, I used to visit a mental hospital. In fact, I've got a dear friend right now that was saved in one of my meetings who is now a chaplain at that mental hospital. I used to go and visit those people. Most of those people, believe it or not, were religious, but they were lost. Now, I can't see anything in the scriptures that said that this rich man was an alcoholic or he was an evil person. But you know what? He never took time to think about God. He was living sumptuously. He had everything he ever wanted. Some of you and I today, we've had to struggle in order to survive, in order to go out and the first few years of my ministry, I'm telling you, we struggled like you can't believe. We were going through after one test after another test. But God was trying us out to see where our faith was. Well, this guy could have been religious, but he definitely was lost. Now, a certain beggar named Lazarus, and Jesus calls his own sheep by name. And I read in John 10:3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads him out. Now, friends, I don't know. I took this from several pastors that went to the Holy Land. I never had an opportunity to go to the Holy Land, and I don't feel too badly about it, but because I didn't get to go. But nonetheless, here's what they used to do. These sheep herders would get together, three or four bunches of sheep, different herds, and they would put them in a pen all together, three different bunches of fish, three sheep, three bunches of sheep herders. In the morning, the sheep herder would go out of the surrounding there at the corral and start calling his sheep by name. And bingo, they'd come out and they'd follow him. That's what he meant by this. To the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Friends, you know, you have a name. God knows your name. If you're born again, your name has been written in the Lamb Book of Life. Did you know that? Oh, my stars and the more. Just think. You belong to the greatest nation of the world when you are born into the family of God. That's exactly right. Some things we don't know about the beggar. We don't know what his age was. We don't know how long he had been a beggar. Speculation concerning his former success. What a contrast for the public to see. Did you know, dear friends, years and years ago when I was raised, well, my stepmother and my dad bought a ranch out at Rentham, Oregon. And there was a man, a very successful man. He had a dance band, and he used to go to Grange Hall every Saturday night, and they'd have dances, and he played the drums. And he said, you know, if I ever get wealthy, I'm going to buy all the wine and drink all the wine I want. Well, during the war, when we were all out fighting, He was there making a lot of money raising wheat, and he got his wealth, like he got his wish. And he bought about, I don't know how many cases of wine. Did you know he died a wino? He got his wish. He wanted to get all the wine he could drink, and that's what happened to him. Well, but there are some things the public could not see. They did not know the peace Lazarus had. They did not know the emptiness within the heart of the rich man. And in verse 22 it says, "Now it came about the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried." The Bible says, and the beggar died. Lazarus died first. That's no surprise. But the hour of death can often be surprising. You know what, dear friends? I had a lost brother that I would prayed for 23 years. Oh, I did everything I could to reach him for Christ. He'd get so mad at me, I'd send him books and gospel tracts, and I'd give my own personal testimony. See, he was ashamed of me. Both my brothers and my sister were ashamed of me because of my alcoholism, and I can understand that. Sure, I can. But did you know what he asked the doctor when he was told he was going to die of cancer real soon? He asked the doctor if he could buy him some more time, because him and my sister-in-law were going to take a trip around the world. And he told me something I never forgot. He said, "Cease, you know what? I never got anything in life that I ever wanted." Well, he wanted peace. You want peace. And if you're not a Christian, you're not born again, you want peace. You sure do. Well, the frailty and yet the endurance of our bodies. No mention of a funeral or burial here at all. Perhaps some potter's field or the valley of Hinnom, the rich man also died. This was a surprise. But wealth cannot buy life. Dead like my brother. He wanted to buy life and was buried. A great funeral was hired. They hired mourners. You know, rich people could do that. And people just come and cry and cry and cry, because that made him think he was a pretty good person. They listed his accomplishments. Ministers may have preached him right into glory. And friends, I can give you an example of that. Years ago, when I was a director of the mission down in Moultrie, Georgia, there was a dentist. And one time this man called me and said, "My nephew is a dentist, and he owes a lot of income tax, and I paid him, I bailed him out. He's an alcoholic, and he's living with a lady, a black lady." And he said, "I'd like to have you go talk to him." So I went and talked to that young man, and I witnessed to that dentist. I took other alcoholics in to witness to him, and he seemed to be quite interested in what we had to say. But friend, did you know what happened? About 11 o'clock one night, I get a phone call from this dentist. He said, "Reverend Moe, look it. If I want to go to hell, then I can go to hell." I said, "Then go." Did you know what happened to him, dear friends? About two or three nights later, he died of a cerebral hemorrhage. Died. Now, let me tell you what the pastor, I went to his funeral. The pastor said, "You know why I know this man was a Christian? Because he loved the 23rd Psalm." Oh, what a mistake. You can love Psalms or you can love anything in the Bible, but that don't get you into heaven except you repent. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot, he will not see the kingdom of God." Well, the contrast of their experiences in eternity, we read in verse 31. And he said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." Friends, listen to me. That's the only soul winner that I know that's in hell today. He had five brothers. Now, he was suffering. He was in torment in these flames. People say there's no such a truth. There is a truth. You willing to gamble? Are you willing to gamble? You say, well, I'm right, Cecil, and you're wrong. Well, supposing I am wrong and you're right, I've lived a better life. But I'm not wrong. I remember the day I fell upon my knees, drunk out of my mind. And I cried out, God, be merciful to me. I didn't know anything about theology. All I knew that I was a sinner, and I was sorry. And I wanted to know Jesus, and Jesus came into my heart. And you know what, friends? Tonight, there might be some of you listening who's saying, oh boy, howdy, I tell you, I really would like to know Jesus. The Bible said, it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, I read in Hebrews 9:27, and it says, and insomuch as it is appointed to men to die, for men to die once, and for this comes judgment. Friends and dear Catholic friends, and I say dear Catholic friends, there is no second chance after death. That's right, no purgatory. This is God's unerring word. This is not Cecil's thoughts. This is what the Bible says. You ask any priest about eternity. Well, it's not in our book, but it's in the side. It's in the notes on the side. We believe there is such a place. There is no extra place. Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Well, Lazarus was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. Christians who die now do not go to Abraham's bosom. That was only before Calvary. But angels now carry Christians right to heaven. Remember, friends, when the two men, the thieves on the cross that was crucified with Jesus, this one guy said to Jesus, hey, you son of God, you've saved others. Come on now off the cross, save yourself. And this one man cried out and said, man, we're here because we deserve to be here. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. No baptism, no church membership, no other sermon, just that, recognizing Christ as the Savior, and he asked him to let him go to heaven, and he did. Well, friends, listen to me. Some of you say tonight, well, you know, maybe I'm like that first thief. Maybe Jesus should have come down off that cross. Friends, if he had come off that cross, he couldn't have saved you or me. We'd be in bad shape. We'd be doomed and damned forever. Now, but the rich man woke up where? In hell. The spirit equipped to see, hear, cry, speak. Now the spirit can recognize and remember. Now listen, the rich man's great concern was about his lost brothers. Do you know what? His concern surpasses the concern of most Christians. Send Lazarus. No, the Bible is enough. You know, friends, I shudder. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and it's personal, but have you ever introduced a soul to Christ? You say, no. Have you ever tried to witness to a lost man? No. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on you. The minute you're saved, you should be wanting to be concerned about other people. And the first person that came to my mind after I accepted Jesus was my mean old stepmother that I hated for so many years. Yes, sir. I thought about her, and I asked the Lord to forgive me of hurting, hating her so much. And you know what? I had an opportunity to go to her home, put my arms around her, hug her and kiss her and tell her I was sorry that her and I never could get along. I was so sorry. She never told me she was sorry. But she didn't have to. I was the one that had to forgive her. Maybe tonight, you not forgiving someone's keeping you out of the kingdom of heaven. That hate is keeping you from coming to Jesus. You've got to forgive other people before God will forgive you. Now the conclusion is, no man is prepared to live until he's prepared to die. Do you care about those who will die lost? Lazarus cannot go and tell them, will you? Friends, listen to me. Years ago, I went overseas and I'd preach overseas over Japan and Hawaii and Alaska and all these other places. I could do it because I had my own business and I supported myself because of it. But friends, I can't go anymore. I'm too old. But you know what? I can send those who can go. I've got several evangelist friends that I support that I just can't hardly wait. They're going to go. They're going to win people. And they do. They go to Africa. They go to Russia. They go to Cuba. They go to Korea. My stars, China. I can help them. Now you say, well, Cecil, I can't go either. And I don't have the money. But you can witness. Oh, you sure can. Let me ask you this. Christian friend, if you've not ever introduced a soul to Christ, or you've never witnessed, would you bow your head to me right now? Father in heaven, I pray for that dear brother, that dear sister, who's never even tried to witness for Jesus, never tried to introduce soul to Christ. God, bring Holy Spirit conviction upon their lives. Help them to get on their knees and surrender and ask for forgiveness. I know you'll forgive them. Give them the strength and the courage and give them holy boldness that they might be soul winners for Jesus. Now, you say, Cecil, I don't even know Jesus right now. I'm as lost as that lost rich man is. Well, do you want to change that? Okay. If you'd like to change that, bow your head at me right now and don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. Here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me. Forgive me for all the bad things I've done, for the way I've treated you. But now, Lord, I'm inviting you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you did that tonight, would you call 303-471-8534? I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Oh, friends, I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. And dear Catholic friends, I love you. I sure do. But you've been misguided about purgatory. There ain't no such a place. Oh, but if you haven't trusted Jesus, don't. Mary was a wonderful person, but she was a sinner just like you and I. You need to trust Jesus, and He'll give you new life. Get on the phone tonight and call me at 303-471-8534. And if you can't afford to call, you call collect and I'll accept it.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. From the right. that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no need in standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw
folks. For the past hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you ones for listening. Oh, prisoners, please pray for me and my wife, and as we go to prisons and we go to rescue missions and go to places where no one else wants to go. Oh, friends, I recall when I was a lost alcoholic, how unhappy I was, how I cried so much. I knew there was something wrong in my life, but I didn't know what to do about it. Until I called a preacher out of bed who knew what the solution was. I was lost, doomed and damned. And I cried out to God, and he forgave me, and he delivered me from alcoholism. Never had no problem with it since. To God be the glory. Well, listen, friends. You keep praying for us, and we love you for it. And until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.